now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? And welcome to Life from the Pulpit, the cutting edge in biblical exposition. Coming to you live and on location in Merced, California, home of the Merced Church of Christ. This is the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, where I, your humble correspondent, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez, offer up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. Greetings, and welcome to the program. The way I said, I'm moving on to some other things here. Let's turn the page, and let's talk about compromise. For the last couple of weeks, I have devoted this regularly aired episodic program to the theme of homosexuality. And I've circled that mountain long enough. I'm sure it's going to show up again later this year. But I said the last episode that was going to be my final word for a while. So you go ahead and you clear the slate, as it were, of your mind. And let's move on here to talk about compromise. To compromise on certain things. In other words, to give in. To cave on something. A conviction. A compelling truth that you know is right and is true, and yet you embrace error as opposed to that truth. That's what I want to talk about, is compromise. It's not a good thing. I'm going to tell you that Hollywood and the Washington crowd, they're going to tell you, yeah, you need to compromise. Compromise on convictions. Compromise in order because, hey, we've all got to agree on this. We all got to concede certain things, and that's the idea of compromise. It's mutual concession. We're agreeing to adjust our conflicting and opposing claims, but typically what ends up happening is it's not mutual concession. It's usually the concession of one crowd to another. And in terms of Christianity and the Christian lifestyle, when we compromise, we are conceding divine truth and God's standard for something less than the ideal. We're settling. We settle for that which is less. That which is less than ideal. God's deal is always ideal. It's the best deal you're ever going to get. And so to compromise on that is to say, you know, God, I know your deal is the best, is ideal. But there's this thing, or there are these people, they just don't understand. And so we do need a compromise. God's word, though, while we might try to change it, try to change what it says, try to argue our way around it, God's word doesn't change. While men are fickle, and men and people, women, children, they change their minds and that sort of thing, God's word does not change. Isaiah 55. Oh, let's start in verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God's word doesn't change. Jesus in the Gospels, reiterates this point. Reiterates the fact that, again, God's word doesn't change. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall no, not never pass away. That's bad English, but it's good Greek. That's the way they talk. It's such an emphatic statement. Doesn't change. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. So the compromise is to take that unchanging word and attempt to change it. Or attempt to get it to say something it doesn't say. Or just out and out ignore it. Flat out. I know this is what God's word says, but I want to do this. Or I need to, or I, whatever, fill in the blank. Whatever concession kind of speech you want to make on that. But here's a principle that you ought to gather and glean from Scripture, and I want to point it out to you, is that everywhere you see compromise, you see loss, not gain. People try to tell you, if you compromise on this, you're going to, you know, it's to your advantage to compromise on certain things, right? Uh-uh. Everywhere you see compromise, you see loss. This goes all the way back to the beginning, doesn't it? Adam, he was given God's law, wasn't he? And he was told, essentially, lead with God's law. He was given a bride, a wife, a companion, and he was to lead as the head, lead his family with God's word. But he compromised that law, didn't he? He followed Eve after her and her sin. You got to understand, Eve was deceived. Adam, he went in eyes wide open. He knew it was wrong. And when he compromised, he lost paradise. Abraham. You remember the episode where he lied about his wife, Sarah? They went down to Egypt one time. Abraham compromised the truth in that situation. Made concessions, tried to explain it away. He lied about Sarah and he almost lost his wife and he almost lost his life as a result of compromise. At the same time, Sarah, you remember there was a promise made to Abraham. He was about 75 years old. From you all nations of this earth shall be blessed. I'll make you a great nation. I'll make your name great. For years they wait. And then Sarah gets the idea. You know, Abraham, we need to help God out here. And she gave Abraham her handmaiden, Hagar. You remember that? Hagar bears Ishmael to Abraham. And because Sarah compromised God's word, the promise of God, well, we've lost peace in the Middle East. Because Ishmael, he was a wild donkey of a man, wasn't he? He would always be in opposition to his brethren. And the Muslims, they trace their lineage through Ishmael. Back to Abraham, but through Ishmael. They say he was the right son of promise. Not Isaac. Yep. Sarah compromised God's word and we have lost. And it continues even today. No peace, and there will be no peace in the future. Dispensational premillennialism notwithstanding. Esau, remember he came in from the field one day real hungry. I mean starved to death. And there's his brother, Abel, an able man in the kitchen, if you will. Not Abel, Jacob. Pardon me. Thank you, Mr. Producer. You caught me. Jacob and Esau. Jacob is making, and he was able in the kitchen. Able to make very good food. He makes a stew, makes a soup. Esau comes in absolutely famished. Give me some of that food, I'm going to die. And Jacob says, well, now wait a minute. You've got that birthright, and I would like that birthright. And Esau compromised for soup. And he lost his birthright. Fast forward a few hundred years to Aaron. Remember the episode where the children of Israel are dancing around the mountain? Moses has been up there with God for days. They don't know what's happened to him. They think he's probably dead for all we know. And they say to Aaron, make us gods, the gods that brought us out of Egypt. And that's what he does. Aaron built that golden calf. He compromised on convictions that he had about adultery. And as a result, he and the people lost the promised land. They would wander around for 40 years waiting for that faithless generation to die in the wilderness. Fast forward a few more hundred years to Samson. A great, mighty man, right? Very, very strong guy as long as his hair was long. He was a Nazarite. And he had a certain amount of devotion to that Nazarite vow. But when he met a young lady named Delilah, well, all that changed. It took a little while, but eventually he did compromise. He compromised on that righteous devotion to his Nazarite vow. He did that with Delilah. And as a result, he lost his strength, he lost his eyes, and he ultimately lost his life. And then there was King David. Actually, you know what? We can stop off with King Saul, can't we? King Saul. He compromised on God's law. Offered up a sacrifice, which was only right for the priest to do. And as a result, he lost the kingdom. You fast forward to David. He compromised on moral truth and moral values. Morals that were no doubt ingrained into his very being. He compromised on those morals. He compromised the divine standard of God. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. He murdered Uriah, and he lost his child. His son, unfortunately, didn't learn from his father's mistakes. Solomon married a bunch of women. Was it 300 wives and 700 concubines? He had 1,000 women with him. That's what I know. But there's this thing in the law which said that one day, when Israel had a king, the king was not to go and make all these treaties by marrying all these foreign women. Solomon, he compromised on those convictions he had about the law. He compromised the law, period. He married foreign women and he lost the United Kingdom. You see, it would be after him, his son Rehoboam and also Jeroboam doing battle with one another. And that would stem off and continue for, well, the rest of the existence of the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. Ahab, who's one of the kings in the divided kingdom, he compromised, married that lovely gal Jezebel, and he lost the throne. We could fast forward to the New Testament. A fellow by the name of Peter, who had said to his Lord, when Jesus asked him, who do the people say that I am? He said, you are the Christ of God. And yet, fast forward several days later, at the trial of Jesus, and he compromises those convictions that he held. He claimed, I never knew the man. And for a moment, he lost his sense of peace in knowing that he was a friend, a disciple, an apostle of Jesus. Jesus would restore that. But for the moment, that's what he lost. Ananias and Sapphira, you remember them? They sold a piece of ground. The money was theirs to do with what they will, what they would. But they compromised. They compromised their word when it came to giving. They lied to the Holy Spirit. And they lost their lives because of it. And then there's Judas. Judas compromised whatever love he had for Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And he lost his eternal soul. Again, I reiterate this principle. Everywhere you see compromise, you see loss, not gain. Kudos to Dr. David Jeremiah. Honor to whom honor is due. Dr. David Jeremiah for pointing out that list. And I want to deal more with that in just a moment. But first, this half hour brought to you by Christian Book Distributors. You know, as a preacher, I need good tools for Bible study so I can stay on the cutting edge of biblical exposition. And I go to Christian Book Distributors to get all my Christian books and Bibles at bargain prices. With a large selection of Christian fiction, kids' books, Christian music, DVDs, both classics and contemporary, and Christian works and Bibles, of course, Christian Book Distributors is sure to have exactly what you need. Go online and visit www.christianbook.com or call 1-800-CHRISTIAN. That's 1-800-247-4784. Get yourself a catalog. Christian Book Distributors, serving the Christian community for 30 years. Let's get back on track here. Everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, where you see compromise, you see loss, not gain. Bad deal. It's a bad deal when you make concessions, when you try to, you know, that mutual settlement, that mutual concession. No. This mutual agreement. No. Whenever you compromise, especially on something as important as the Word of God, you always see loss, not gain. It's always a bad deal, not a good deal. You're not making a good deal better. You're making the best deal worse. And yet the world tries to tell you something different, doesn't it? Well, it doesn't try. It is telling you that, isn't it? Look all over the world and they're talking about compromise. Compromise here. In Washington, for crying out loud, they speak the language of compromise. That is their language. They open their mouths and they talk compromise. You have an uncompromising spirit over in Washington. Oh, you're just a radical. That's some kind of great evil, especially among conservatives. If you're a conservative and you have an uncompromising spirit, you will not compromise on convictions and truths, on principle and on morals. Well, you know, that's a great evil. You must compromise or you're never going to get anything done. That's the prevailing view over in Washington. It never works. That's what they'll tell you. You don't want to be an uncompromising person. You want to get stuff done, don't you? Well, you've just got to learn to make concessions, to agree on certain stipulations. You know, in order to get ahead in the rat race, you need a compromise. You need to break the rules in certain places. I mean, that's a message that people try to impress even on young people. You want to get ahead in business? You want to get ahead? You're going to have to cut corners some places. You're going to have to bend the rules, break the rules even in some places. You have to compromise on certain convictions, certain morals, certain values. If you don't compromise, well, then you are attacked. You're attacked for your uncompromising spirit. And again, the attack is loudest from Washington. Let's just say there's no compromising on being uncompromising. The most recent example, they compromised on the gun bill, or at least so-called compromise on the gun bill. About assault weapons and a ban on assault rifles, but especially about mental health and background checks and stuff. Like, you gotta compromise on that stuff, you know. The world says that, the world will come out and flat out tell you have to compromise. If you want to get ahead at all, if you want to do great things, if you want to be, If you want to be that person, that leader, that whatever, you're going to have to compromise. And you know what God is saying to all that? Baloney. I think that's the Greek term for it, if I remember right. No, that's not true. No, you don't. You don't have to compromise. In fact, let me give you a great example of not compromising on convictions and on truth. Daniel, right? There's a song, Dare to Be a Daniel, right? Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Here is a young man who has been taken out of his homeland, out of Jerusalem. He's been transported over to Babylon, foreign country, pagan country, idolatrous country. And here he is in the midst of that. How easy would it have been just to say, I'm here, when in Rome, do like the Romans, right? Compromise on convictions, compromise on things, compromise on God's law. How easy would it have been? But he doesn't. Daniel 1, verse 8, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. And he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. He said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to compromise here. How easy would it have been just to eat from the king's table? But again, everywhere you see compromise, you see loss, not gain. Everywhere you see compromise, it's a bad deal. It's not good. And in fact, it makes the best deal worse. And as a result of not compromising, God honors that. He recognizes that. And he blessed Daniel. Daniel 1, verse 9. God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. Verse 15. At the end of 10 days, it was seen that Daniel and his compatriots were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. As for the four youths, verse 17, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. The king spoke with him, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You probably know them better as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, they stood before the king. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. When you find an uncompromising spirit, uncompromising when it comes to the word and the will of God, you know what you find? Gain, not loss. When you find people honoring the best deal available to them, that is God's will for their life. Well, they're doing the best thing. And God is honoring that faith and that faithfulness. God is saying the whole time, no, you don't. You don't have to compromise. Jesus is the supreme example of a life free from compromise. How easy would it have been? How easy would it have been to compromise? When you've got multitudes of people, you want to talk about mega church. Jesus planted a church in Israel, and within a matter of weeks, that thing is overflowing out of synagogues. He's having to meet out by lakes, so he's got enough space. He's having to meet on mountaintops so he can talk to people. That's a lot. That's by all earthly standards, that's a successful church, a successful ministry. I've talked about this before. Success in ministry, it's not about numbers, it's about faithfulness. That's another discussion for another time. Listen, when it comes to Jesus, and when it comes to compromise, when he was tempted, he never compromised truth. When he was crucified, he never compromised conviction in the plan of God. When he was rejected, he didn't compromise what was right. All kinds of people coming to him, hearing his message, and when he begins to break down true discipleship, he begins to tell people, you are here not because you want to follow me, You're here for food. And he begins to break down. Listen, you want to truly be my disciple, you need to eat my flesh, drink my blood. That's what it means to abide in me and enjoy fellowship with me. When he begins to break down true discipleship, people walk away. In droves they leave. His congregation dwindles down to, zero in a matter of weeks. In a matter of days. He's the most popular man coming into Jerusalem right before the Passover. I mean, people are laying down their cloaks. They're laying down palm leaves. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna in the highest. And within a week, there is nobody following him as he hangs on the cross. And maybe, that's what it looks like to live an uncompromising life. Because to live an uncompromising life, to live a life which does not compromise God's word and God's truth, well, it means you will endure, you will suffer, and quite possibly you will die for that conviction. Because there is nothing more important than the will and the word of God. You know what? With this, and I hate to bring it up again, but with this homosexual agenda, I mean, you have Christians who are compromising on the Word of God. Either making it say something it doesn't say or just flat out rejecting what it says because it's not relevant to the culture. The bottom line is, Scripture is always relevant whether you recognize it or not. We're compromising on that truth. We're compromising on the language that's used. And the scary thing is, those of you who were alive back in the day, we did the same thing with abortion. Compromising on the truth, compromising on the language that communicates that truth. And where are we now? Millions of Americans murdered in the womb, in utero. Infanticide. I mean, there are Senate hearings where you've got a lady, a proponent for Planned Parenthood, up there talking about how essentially infanticide is just a decision between a patient and a doctor. We've compromised on this stuff before. It looks like we're going to do it again. But again, when you see compromise, feel free to leave a comment on the website. I'm out of time. Also, search Facebook, find the Life from the Pulpit page, and like us. You get all our updates when I go live with the podcast or when I update the blog. Also, you can follow me on Twitter, @InPulpit, @N=Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Also, be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, www.lifefromthepulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, and 1 John, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in everyday Bible study. And go online and check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Lots of sermon audio there, also for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. And as always, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.